following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
So, good morning again. Welcome to Emmanuel Covenant Church. My name is Eric Hedberg, and I have the joy and the privilege of being the pastor here at Emmanuel. And I'm glad that you're here worshiping with us this morning. We are in our fourth Sunday of Advent. Most of the kids are out of school now for at least a couple of weeks. Some folks have work breaks beginning or coming very soon. This is when I usually start to become somewhat frantic about making sure that I have Christmas presents purchased, although I'm actually in pretty good shape this year, as of last night, so. But Christmas is looming large on the horizon. The anticipation of the Savior's coming is just in front of us, just days now from being realized. And I say this because we know it, I know it, but I have to remind myself to take some time to really dwell in all that is the Advent season in these next few days. And our text this morning will help us do some of that. They'll help us look backwards, they'll help us look at the present, they'll help us look forward to what God has done, what God is doing, and what God will do in and through the world and in and through His Son Jesus. So our Old Testament reading is from Psalm 146, verses 5 to 10. And then our Gospel reading will be from Luke 1, verses 46 to 55. So just moving even a little bit further past what we've already read this morning in Luke. Both of these readings, both of these are actually songs, are important words for me this morning. And so I hope for us this morning, this week, in this season. They're important for us to remember and to reflect on and just appreciate in the midst of the busyness and the chaos that comes with anticipating something amazing. So let's open up to Psalm 146, verses 5 to 10 first. If you don't have a Bible and would like one either for today or to keep, please raise your hand. One of our ushers would be happy to bring you one of our shiny new Bibles that just came weeks ago. Yeah, hey. It's one of the things that we really value here at Emmanuel Covenant Church is making sure that everyone has access to the Word of God. So let me pray to us, pray for us, and we'll dive into God's Word together. Almighty God, who scatters the proud and fills the hungry, by your Holy Spirit let your Word leap in us and bring to our waiting, our hoping, our anticipation, the joy that comes with new beginnings and renewed lives. Amen. So Psalm 146, verses 5 to 10. Blessed are those whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow. But he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. And then Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. The nature of my role as a pastor often has me looking forward. And really, as we've already seen in our announcements today, as a church, we are looking forward. We had an announcement this morning about Christmas tree chipping and about taking down our Christmas decorations. And we have to have those because we have to put those things on our calendar and they're important. But boy, it feels weird to be having those kinds of announcements before Christmas has even come, doesn't it? So I know I end up looking ahead, whether it's days or weeks or months. And all too often then, I can miss what's important right here and right now. That can slip by me without me giving it its due. Whether that's due energy or due excitement or due thought or due reverence. And that, I think, is the flip side of this anticipation that we have been talking about through the Advent season. As one thing, for us now, Christmas grows nearer, and the anticipation of that grows and builds to a climax, I can tend to feel the need to draw back, or feel the pull to move on to what I should be anticipating next, the next thing that I should be anxiously waiting for. And whether that's in my walk with Jesus, whether it's in relationships with others, in work, or something entirely different, it is all too easy for me to skip ahead to the next thing that I'm anticipating. I would do that in school. You probably would too. As the fall semester began, I'd be looking ahead to the first Frisbee tournament, and then to the next Frisbee tournament, and then fall break, and then Thanksgiving break, and Christmas break, always the next thing. Not even usually spending time appreciating where it was and what I was doing at the time. And I'll chalk some of that up to my personality. I'm a curious person by nature. I always like to find out more about almost everything, which means that, you know, I'm bouncing all over the place trying to find out more, and that means that I can skip over things. People, sports, animals, books, God, Jesus, the Bible, etc., etc. But I'm also someone who's always looking for the good in things, the fun, the positive. And so as things that I have anticipated, whether for a long time or even just a short time approach, I begin to get nervous about how good they really are. I begin to wonder if whatever it is will live up to everything that I've built it up to being. I'll admit I had to fight myself like crazy not to look and jump beyond our breakthrough weekend, knowing that I and that we as a church had to wait on God to point out what it was that He had in store for us as a church body. I wanted to protect my own feelings. I wanted to protect my pride because I had put so much stock in this. But what if it didn't live up to what I had hoped it would be? I wanted to build a little emotional safety net around myself in case it wasn't everything I had hoped or everything I had expected. I was sitting and talking with Mary, our administrator, this week during our rousing regular staff meeting with the two of us. It's fun, but somehow they, just like any church meeting, they last forever. Mary actually had to kick me out of her office today. She said, "Eric, I have work to do. You have to stop talking." But we were talking about this, and mostly I was telling her about how excited I am and how I'm already looking forward to the series that I have planned in January. And that's not that far away now, but I was excited about it even in the end of November. But like I'm really excited for it. We're going to talk about love. We're going to look at love the way that God demonstrates His love throughout Scripture, and then how we can model the way we love one another after that. Like it's going to be great. It's going to be really great. And I have all sorts of illustrations. I'm, you know, kind of have this like little mental bank, if that's a thing, of illustrations for all four of those weeks sitting in my mind that demonstrate the way that God loves and the way that we can live that out It's ready to go, and I'm already anticipating it. I when I was typing this, my fingers were just going. I had to stop myself so that I didn't do the whole intro to the whole series now, because I'm that excited. But also, it's because I'm not able right now to be present in this week, and that isn't okay. This is going to be a great word for us. It's going to be a great word for me, for our church body, as we enter the new year. But because we are focused, and I've focused on this state of anticipation, I've recognized that I haven't allowed myself to really be in the space of the season that I have been anticipating. It's all too easy for me, and I'm willing to bet for most of us, to let the busyness of this time of year get the best of us. I came across a video this week of a violinist named Lindsay Sterling. She's this incredible violinist. She plays some really unique music. It has kind of this Celtic feel, but with an electronic background. So it's neat. You definitely need to look up her version of Hallelujah, the Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah that we'll hear in just a couple days now from the choir. But it's this just haunting and beautiful song. And so the video is her standing in the middle of a busy subway platform in New York City playing Hallelujah. And she's a violinist who kind of dances around, and it's kind of impossible not to notice her, but people didn't. They just sort of walked by. They got on the train, they got off the train, they got on the train, they got off the train, and they basically ignored her. They had no idea that she was this famous and accomplished violinist. This person that millions in the world love. This person who packs out auditoriums when she plays concerts. And this video reminded me of another one that I and maybe many of you have seen years ago. So it's not hard to see that Joshua Bell is an incredible musician. The music just from this video is beautiful. And he draws huge crowds, and it's used to playing to packed houses. So this whole experiment was really new to him. It was bizarre. And it sounds like it was even kind of a sad experiment for him, a difficult experiment. Years ago, here was a man, a world-renowned violinist, playing a violin literally worth millions of dollars in a subway station in Washington, D.C., a busy and bustling city. And he played beautiful music, and people walked right by. People walked right by because they didn't know what they were listening to. People walked right by because they didn't know what it was they were supposed to be listening for. People walked right by because they were too absorbed in their expectations for the day that they didn't have time to engage in the beauty right in front of them. It's always interesting when there's a video on YouTube and you can read some of the comments, and people were angry at all of the passers-by, and, oh, how could they do this? How could they not know who this was? And one of the people responded, and I think they were right, that it's not their fault. They didn't know. And I'm not sure that I would have done any differently than those folks who walked right by. I'd like to think that I would. I'd like to think that I have the kind of ear and appreciation for great music that would force me to stop. But I also know that if I was riding the subway in January in Washington, D.C., I'd probably have great anticipation for whatever it was I was riding the subway to get to. Maybe to see some landmarks and see some history, experience some history, enjoy a great metropolitan city, go to the Smithsonian museums. I would likely be completely involved in my own things, in my own life, my own day, my own mission. Not intentionally blind to everything around me, but also not as aware as perhaps I should be, or at least not as available to being in the wonder of the moment as I could or I should be. Mary could very well have been in that same kind of mental state in this season. The same kind of state that I feel like I've found myself in, looking beyond what is right here. The same state as all these commuters who walked right by Joshua Bell. Mary has so much going on in her life in this moment. She's engaged to be married. That in and of itself is enough to throw everything out of whack. She's been visited by an angel and told she would be carrying the Messiah, the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. She's likely preparing to head to Bethlehem for the upcoming census. And we know from the verses just before Mary's song here that she has made a trip to visit her relative Elizabeth, who is also pregnant in a miraculous way. Mary arguably has as much going on in her and around her as anyone in history leading up to the birth of the Savior. She has so much to look forward to, so much to distract her, so much expectation, so much anticipation. And it's that anticipation that she allows to dictate the way that she lives and the way that she worships. With all of this going on around her, Mary does not miss the beauty of what is right in front of her. The miracle that she has a front row seat to, the birth of the Savior of the world, Mary's own Savior. And Mary sings this song that's full of joy, that's full of gratitude, full of hope, full of anticipation, full of reflection, and even prophecy. She sings, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." Mary's focus in this incredible time is exactly where it should be, on God and on Jesus who is soon to come, and all that God has and will do, and all that Jesus will do. Mary has this incredible insight into the way that Jesus will change the world. And she celebrates it and she declares it so that it's known. We saw in the video how much attention someone like Joshua Bell gets once people know who he is, know what it is that they should be expecting. He has packed the same venue. That was actually in the subway station where all those people were. I saw another video and people could hardly move because there were so many people there. They were all there to hear him play, to hear this world-class musician. And some of them may have even been the same people who walked right by years earlier, not knowing who and what they were missing at the time. We know who it is we're waiting for. We know who it is we are waiting to celebrate. We know who it is we're anticipating. And so in these last few days of Advent, in these last few days we have to actively wait and anticipate the coming of our Savior. Make sure that you take the time to savor and appreciate just who it is you're waiting for. And the last little bit of the song we sang just before, the words, "Raise, raise the song on high." Raise, raise the song on high. Mary's song. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." Holy God, our light and our salvation, you bring hope and peace to the lowly and the oppressed. Help us to spend time dwelling in that truth this week, in these last days before the birth of our Savior, in whose holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at Emmanuel